Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and we're in the book of Leviticus. And I did the introduction yesterday, and so today will be chapter 1, Leviticus. Let me go up to the throne to ask the Lord to bless, to anoint this chapter, all right? Heavenly Father, Lord and God, Lord, you have me reading through the Bible. You have me explaining and through your Spirit the Word of God. But it wouldn't be anything, Lord, unless you anoint it with your Holy Spirit. Because it just wouldn't quicken into people's souls. No one can come unto you unless the Spirit draw them. And no one can understand the Scripture unless the Spirit opens it up to them. Lord, this is the law, the first five books of the Bible, the Torah. And Leviticus is the book that shows us all the different structures of the law. And then, of course, Deuteronomy will tell us or reiterate this book, but in a different way. Anoint this service, anoint all the words of this evening, Lord, that it may quicken and give everyone life that they never had before. That it give them the life and power to live another day in the Spirit as one day at a time. It is just the way you told us to live our lives. To not worry about the things that are going to happen tomorrow, the evil of tomorrow, because sufficient is the evil of today. Lord God, we love you and we praise you and we thank you. And we give you all the glory for our ability to stand. It's not by power or might, not our power, not our might, but it's by your Spirit. You, Father, are spirit and life. You, God, are a spirit. And those that worship you must worship you in spirit and in truth. We have to believe your word the way that it's written. We can't concoct any device any other way than the way that you have structured your word. To be holy, we must keep the things that you've said. We must do those things, for that is true holiness. Lord, keep us holy another day. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right.
Leviticus chapter 1, Procedures for the Burnt Offerings. King James Version, verse 1. And the Lord called unto Moses, and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd, and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish.
That means this is symbolic of Christ, a male that doesn't have any sin, because it has to prefigure the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone has to die. The cries of this animal as being killed gives them an idea of what it's like, how horrible sin is that somebody has to die for your and my sins. And the people's sins that lived back then. And then God himself, in the body of Jesus Christ, came into this world as a man and died for our sins and then resurrected from the dead to prove that he was God and that the teachings that he taught us were the right things. So if you try to twist it or turn it or make it to be something else, there's just too much background history. For it to not be true. There's just too many prefigurements, types, figures, symbols, and Jesus fulfilled every single one of them for it not to be true. So we have to follow these things carefully and live our lives carefully before the Lord and before humans. Okay, go ahead.
He shall offer it of his own voluntary will.
So it's a voluntary thing. You want to get saved? Fine. You don't want it? That's fine too, but you're going to have to pay the consequences. God doesn't twist your arm. You'll either do it willingly, or else you won't do it at all. And you won't be in heaven. And there's only one other place to be, and that's hell. And, you know, this is tough love. This is the way it is, and there's no other way to slice it. If you've been listening to these scriptures the way that I've been bringing them down from the actual Word of God, then you know that God isn't a soft touch. He doesn't like anybody. He's no respecter of persons. He doesn't like somebody so much that he just lets them sin and get away with it. We all have to go the same way. It's straight, narrow, and the gates to the kingdom of heaven are narrow and straight. There's no variations. Okay? Go ahead.
He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priests, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into his pieces. And the sons of Aaron, the priest, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priests, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head, and the fat in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar.
Okay, the head is symbolic of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the parts are symbolic of his body. Us. Okay, go ahead.
But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water. And the priest shall burn all on the altar, to be a burnt sacrifice.
The inwards are the spirit, symbolic of the spirit, being washed with the blood of Jesus and with the word inside of us, and the legs are washed, which is symbolic that we have to walk in spirit and in truth. Okay? Then what else?
And the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord.
Very pleasing to the Lord. Okay, now into the translation.
Translation verses 1 through 9. Procedures for the burnt offerings. The Lord called to Moses from the tabernacle and said to him, "Give the following instructions to the Israelites. Whenever you present offerings to the Lord, you must bring animals from your flocks and herds. If your sacrifice for a whole burnt offering is from the herd, bring a bull with no physical defects to the entrance of the tabernacle, so it will be accepted by the Lord." No physical defects means that the only kind of sacrifice that is worthy to give to the Lord is one that is perfect.
Because it's symbolic of Jesus. Okay, and then what else?
So therefore, we are called to sacrifice ourselves to the Lord. Our bodies are not our own. He is to own them now, and he wants to do a work in a sinless body.
Right. Now, the Lord is the head, and we're the bodies. Now, he can't do any work without us, and we cannot do anything without him. And so you can see how dependent the Lord is on us. He needs a body to work in. Amen?
Amen.
But he went away. Now, the problem is there's so few laborers, so few members of his body that are actually doing his work, that it makes the job difficult. It's harder because we need more members. You take a people, if you leave a church alone, they'll stop going down to the streets to witness and testify. They lose their zeal. They think that they've got it made. But we have to continue on being the body of Christ and getting his spirit around to everybody that we can while we're here on earth, or there won't be any work of the Lord done at all. So, the body cannot be separated from the head, and the head must have the body to work in. Jesus is the chief cornerstone, but there can't be just the cornerstone. There has to be the building as well. Do you understand?
Yes.
He needs us, and we need him, and he needs us to do a work, to accomplish what he wants to do. If he didn't have us, he'd still be in heaven. But to get to accomplish his purpose, he needs us to work in. He needs a body, a fit body, not just people that have no purpose in their life or don't care about what he wants to get done, but people that are devoted, dedicated to getting done the job that he wants done. That means to win souls. And people in Los Angeles, in New York, you have to, and everywhere in the world, all you churches, and we have thousands of them, you must be on the streets and never stop to the end. Let the Lord lead you where he will. And it won't be to any sinful place, any sinfulness. He may lead you into different places where there's the ghettos and all these different places. That's primarily came to save sinners. But the Lord has got the body. He separates it from the head, but now in the New Testament, we're all connected together. We need him, and he needs us to get his job done. Okay, and he said that we would do a greater job than him because we'll be in a multitude of bodies, or he would be living in a multitude of us. Many bodies, because his spirit, he lives in us now by the spirit, and the spirit is everywhere and is ready to enter anyone who will allow it to enter, him to enter them, and will allow him to do a work in them. Okay, let's go.
He wants to do a work in a sinless body, his work. He wants to live in us and work in us and for us to stay holy. End bracket. Lay your hand on his head so the Lord will accept it as your substitute, thus making atonement for you. Then slaughter the animal in the Lord's presence, and Aaron's sons, the priests, will present the blood by sprinkling it against the sides of the altar that stands in front of the tabernacle. When the animal has been skinned and cut into pieces, the sons of Aaron, the priest, will build a wood fire on the altar. Aaron's sons will then put the pieces of the animal, including its head and fat, on the wood fire. Bracket. This is done differently in different kinds of offerings. This is a sin offering. End bracket. But the internal organs and legs must be first washed with water. Then the priest will burn the entire sacrifice on the altar.
Then that will be, that's what we are. So we're burnt offerings. We're no longer ourselves. We burned out. You know, the Spirit of the Lord has mortified us and made us mortified, or a heap of ashes, to be putty in his hands to do his will. Okay, then what?
It is a whole burnt offering made by fire, very pleasing to the Lord. King James Version, verse 10. And if his offering be of the flocks, namely of the sheep or of the goats, for a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring it a male without blemish.
Again, it's the same thing. Then what?
And he shall kill it on the side of the altar northward before the Lord. And the priests, Aaron's sons, shall sprinkle his blood round about upon the altar.
And northward means the devil is always said to be coming from the north. Like the people that are coming against Israel are coming from the north. Beelzebub, Satan, the devil, is always the evil one from the north, the Antichrist from the north. Okay, go ahead.
And he shall cut it into his pieces with his head and his fat, and the priest shall lay them in order on the wood that is on the fire which is upon the altar. But he shall wash the inwards and the legs with water, and the priest shall bring it all and burn it upon the altar. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And if the burnt sacrifice for his offering to the Lord be of fowls, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves, or of young pigeons. And the priest shall bring it unto the altar, and wring off his head, and burn it on the altar, and the blood thereof shall be wrung out at the side of the altar. And he shall pluck away his crop with his feathers, and cast it beside the altar on the east part, by the place of the ashes. And he shall cleave it with the wings thereof, but shall not divide it asunder. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar, upon the wood that is upon the fire. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Translation, verse 10 through 17. Quote, if your sacrifice for a whole burnt offering is from the flock, bring a male sheep or goat with no physical defects. Slaughter the animal on the north side of the altar, in the Lord's presence. Aaron's sons, the priests, will sprinkle its blood against the sides of the altar. Then you must cut the animal in pieces, and the priests will lay the pieces of the sacrifice, including the head and fat, on top of the wood fire on the altar. The internal organs and legs must first be washed with water. Then the priests will burn the entire sacrifice on the altar. It is a whole burnt offering, made by fire, very pleasing to the Lord. If you bring a bird as a burnt offering to the Lord, choose either a turtle dove or a young pigeon. The priest will take the bird to the altar, twist off his head, and burn the head on the altar. He must then let its blood drain out against the sides of the altar. The priest must remove the crop and the feathers and throw them to the east side of the altar among the ashes. Then, grasping the bird by its wings, the priest will tear the bird apart, though not completely. Then he will burn it on top of the wood fire on the altar. It is a whole burnt offering made by fire, very pleasing to the Lord.
Now, not one part of that bird was alive. It was torn, ripped, its feather was taken off. It was a very gory mess, symbolic of the death of Christ, for to take away, to be the scapegoat for us. We who are sinners and whose flesh is, wants us to sin all the time, but not if the Spirit of the Lord is in us. But not if the Spirit of the Lord is in us to mortify the lusts of our flesh. Then what?
Bracket. And notice that he says we have to be a whole burnt offering. It has to be all the heart, all the soul, all the mind, all the body, all the strength. Everything of its own life has to be gone, end bracket.
In order for the Lord to be able to represent himself in us. Otherwise, it's not the Lord. Anything that's of you is not the Lord. You have to not love yourself, you have to just sacrifice yourself. Ripped, torn, crucified. Then what?
Commentary.
Okay, that was the last verse in the first chapter of Leviticus, and now we have some commentary.
Chapter 1, verse 1. The very first words of this book, quote, the Lord called, unquote, reveal a God who seeks out and initiates relationships with his people. Similar words are found in Genesis 3, 9. The same Hebrew word is used, where it says, quote, the Lord God called to Adam after he had disobeyed. He offered him a way of getting right with the Lord, recovering from his sin. Through God's instructions in Exodus and Leviticus, God provided Israel with more elaborate, quote, object lessons, unquote, to remind them of how much he had done for them. God is still calling to us today, offering forgiveness, hope, and restored fellowship with him. 1 verse 2 and 3. Quote, give the following instructions to the Israelites. Whenever you present offerings to the Lord, you must bring animals from your flocks and herds. If your sacrifice for a whole burnt offering is from the herd, bring a bull with no physical defects to the entrance of the tabernacle so it will be accepted by the Lord. Unquote. The offerings in Leviticus 1 through 3 are voluntary acts of worship, involving the free will of the individual. While God emphasizes the importance of committing our life to Him and provides ways for us to do that, we must choose to act. He does not violate anyone's free will. By actively refusing or passively ignoring a relationship with God now, we are choosing life without God's help and without God's hope for us. The choice is ours!
All right, that was all there is to this so far at this first run through the Bible of Leviticus chapter 1. Meditate on the Lord. Think about Him all the time. Keep looking up. This is the whole duty of man, is to fear God and keep His commandments. And without the fear of the Lord, we're not going to serve Him. So think about that. Meditate on it day and night. And you'll be like a tree planted by the water, the Spirit. Until chapter 2, God bless you and praise the Lord.